Great to have you with us on Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Coming up a little bit later, we'll talk about the notion of authentic ethnic food. What does that mean, and what often is code embedded in that term, authentic? But first, in Sacramento, a series of bills that seek to curtail the expansion of charter schools in California. Those are public schools independently operated from local school districts that get tax dollars in support. Teachers' unions have been pushing back against the creation of charters, particularly in the massive LA Unified, which has been at the forefront of allowing the creation of charter schools. KPCC education reporter Kyle Stokes is with us. Kyle, good morning. What do these various bills do?
Yeah, good morning, Larry. So in sum, these bills have the potential to really limit the ability of charter schools to grow as fast as they had been growing, particularly in the last decade, although that growth has slowed to an extent over the most recent years. But they're still, we're now talking about 1 in 10 students in California's public education system now go to charter schools. And these four different bills would do in each their own different way, kind of put a check on charter growth. There are two bills that have already passed through the one house and are on their way to the other. So these are two assembly bills. One that would sort of closes, this is sort of the quote unquote the easy one, that prevents, that closes a loophole that essentially allowed school districts to authorize charter schools in someone else's school district, across school district lines. Remember that a charter, the thing that makes a charter school different from any other public school is that it has to get the permission of an authorizer like a school district or the county office of education or state board of education that basically gives them permission to open the school in the first place. And then a nonprofit organization opens that school and runs that school now.
Just to clarify, you're saying that districts have been authorizing charter schools in other districts?
That's right. And in fact, L.A. County has been sort of the sort of hotbed for this. Hotbed is sort of a relative term here. It is one of the places where this is this infrequently used exemption in the law has been used most often. And it goes back to the act in Agua Dulce School District, which has chartered several charter schools outside of its own limits. And this has been the subject of some litigation in the past as well.
So if the other districts sued about Acton,
right.
Agua Dulce and, opening these,
and this bill now sort of closes that loophole and makes it much, much more difficult to authorize a school across the district lines. Another bill that just passed narrowly through the assembly also deals with this process of authorizing, the idea that a nonprofit group goes to a school district and says, "Please allow us to open a charter school." The current law makes it, I guess supporters of this legislation would say, current law makes it very difficult for a school district to say no to a petitioner who's hoping to open
a charter
school.
So the default is approval.
The default, I wouldn't say that the default is approval, but you can't deny a charter school if you're concerned about the effect of that charter school on the district's finances. Or another example that's been cited
often. Yeah, because who would ever charter a charter if that was, they'd never allow it to open, because of course it's
well, precisely right. And we'll get to that thought in just a second. But other things that you can't deny it for are there are already 8 charter schools on this city block or something like that, or within this very small area. AB 1505, which passed last week, would make it a little bit easier for districts to say no. In fact, it would make it a lot easier for districts to say no to people who are trying to charter schools if a charter school were to have a negative financial impact, or it would have a negative academic impact.
Well, that's so easy to claim or it even prove in terms of dollars, because, of course, it will take. I mean, that sounds like a de facto ability to ban charters.
Which, to pick up your point that you were, you know, saying, this is absolutely being read as by charter school supporters as a blatant, you know, a frontal assault on charter schools. And that's how they would frame this. Now, I think that, you know, if you talk to supporters, obviously they would, you know, there's certain people who would prefer that charter schools go away entirely. But I think even if you talk to some people who are trying to be a little bit more nuanced about this, charter schools do not, there's not a lot of you know, they would argue that school districts need to have this ability to say, we're already doing this in our district. We need to make sure that the portfolio of options that we are offering to parents within our school district serves a variety of different needs. And if a charter school is just going to come into the same neighborhood and offer to do the same thing that other local school districts or local schools are doing that are run by the district, say there's a charter that wants to come in and run dual language programs when there are already three dual language programs in the neighborhood, there's that sort of raises a question of whether that charter is adding value, which is what the original idea of the charter school model was to be.
Well, but part of, as I understood, part of the charter school model, I mean, there are a number of things it was intended to do. One is to pilot and experiment and do things to see that might be harder for districts in their bureaucratic way to try.
Right.
The other thing is the idea of parental option. So let's say you've got three Spanish language immersion schools that were within 5 square miles or 7 square miles. And the charter wants to open one. The idea was, well, the charter's got to compete with the district-operated one. Let's see which one parents gravitate toward that they feel does the best job in Spanish immersion. So part of it was the idea of providing a competition for the monopoly of the district-run school.
Right. And I think that to a large extent, school choice is already a huge part of what's going on, for instance, in Los Angeles. You know, if you take charter schools out of the equation, parents are still making a lot of choices. I believe that something like half of the school district's students made some kind of a choice about where they were going to school, or their parents did, whether to a magnet school, these dual language options, open enrollment, where you just pick another school in another neighborhood, and if they have space, you can transfer into that school. There are permits where you can go from, you know, one area to the other, desegregation-related activity.
Magnet schools.
Then the magnet schools, as I mentioned. So, I mean, these are there's already a lot of choice. Charters add to that. And I think that the question here that a person who would be in favor of restricting charter school growth a little bit more is whether or not LA or other, you know, districts where there are a lot of charter schools have reached a point of saturation where there are perhaps too many charter schools. I think they would say that they're starting to eat into the very, you know, kind of cut through the fat of the school districts and now hit bone, that you're talking about charters. When you add more charter schools to the equation, you're doing material harm to the school district, not only financially, but academically, where you're kind of dividing things up into too many different competing forces. I think there's a general questioning of that framing of whether a choice-based education system is good for overall education of all students.
Interesting. So there's a theory that there's such a thing as too much choice.
And too much competition. And I think that this is sort of a difficult thing to talk about, because even if you took charters off of the table, like I mentioned, there'd still be a lot of choice in LA. I think the issue is that the district can regulate the kinds of portfolio options it has. I mean, LA Unified has, you know, 800, 900 campuses, but it's able to decide, you know, if we've already got a dual language program in this area that's going to serve students who feed into such and such middle school and such high school, they can decide, well, we're not going to authorize another dual language program. The way the current charter law is written doesn't allow the district to step in and say, whoa, what are you adding to the equation here?
Kyle Stokes, KPCC education reporter, is with us. I'd like to hear from you what you think about these bills in Sacramento, which would curtail the growth of charter schools. At least that is the intended purpose of the bills. Kyle describing what they would do. We're hearing the pros and cons from both the charter school advocate position as well as the district and teacher advocacy position. We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. It's a chance for you to weigh in while these bills are still under consideration. We'll be back in just 1 minute. The future of charter school growth in California, that's our focus. KPCC education reporter Kyle Stokes is with us, and I'd like to hear what you think about these bills. We're at 866 893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Kyle talking with us about the four bills currently in Sacramento being debated that are sponsored by the California Teachers Association, which wants to cut down on the growth of charter schools, which over the past 10 to 20 years have grown dramatically, particularly in the LA Unified School District, where there's been a huge growth in charter schools. One of them that Kyle talked about would stop districts from authorizing charter schools outside of their own district. Another one, the second one, Kyle, that you mentioned had to do with the authorization if it would have financial or curriculum implications for the schools the district could block.
The shorthand, it's easier to say no to a charter that wants to open.
And then the third would involve a cap. What level is that cap at?
Right. So this is AB 1506, and it is currently on the assembly floor, so it hasn't yet passed through that body, and there's sort of a deadline looming at the end of this week. The idea of AB 1506 is that it would enact a cap starting in January of 2020 that would say that if a school district's student enrollment was at 10% or more of charter school enrollment, that no more charters could be authorized within that district. And that, again, that would start in January of 2020. Now, there has been some question about, we sort of thought maybe this bill was going to move last week before the Memorial Day holiday. And now here we are this week. There's some question about whether it's actually going to move forward at this point. I think there's some concern among supporters that it's not going to move forward at this point, that maybe it doesn't have the votes. Like I say, we're going to know by Friday because there's a legislative deadline for bills to clear through from one house to the other. But there is that cap that is at least being talked about right now in the assembly floor.
Well, it's interesting because I'm sure from the charter school proponent point of view, it's like, don't be too successful. If we're getting 10%, have a risk of getting 20 or 30. You know, we can't allow that to happen because charters can't be that successful in drawing parents. I'm sure that's, and from the teacher's perspective, the district perspective is the loss of revenue, I'm sure, for them going beyond 10%. Gets into, as you put it, the meat and bone of the district.
Yeah, the argument often goes that the charter schools cut into the ability of districts are not able to, when they lose a student, you lose a certain amount of revenue. And when you lose that amount of revenue, it doesn't mean if you've got a school with 100 students in it, and then one of them goes to the charter school, it isn't that much cheaper to operate a school for 99 kids than it is for 100. Taking 25 kids out of a teacher's class and turning it to 24, you can't hire one fewer teacher. And so that's the sort of argument about what charter schools, you know, how that can be especially detrimental to school districts because it leaves them with the same facilities costs, the same overhead costs, but not the ability to scale down at, you know, in proportion to the amount of enrollment.
LA Unified would be undergoing declining enrollment anyway, even if there weren't charters, just because the cost of living in Los Angeles has led to the flight of many families.
Right. And to that point, what charter school supporters would say is that, and we're talking about sort of a well-known debate at this point, but just to make that point, that charter school supporters would say, if this enrollment decline has been happening in Los Angeles Unified for this long, that the district should have been making more efforts to scale back commensurate to the
close
amount of enrollment that they're doing.
And
they would argue, the charter supporters would argue, that those sorts of changes and, you know, quote-unquote right-sizing hasn't been happening.
Elizabeth in Encino, good to have you with us. What do you think about these bills that would curtail the growth of charters?
I think it's a dangerous way to go because I think what you're seeing is that we're all just fighting for the scraps of funding for LAUSD. My son was at LAUSD for kindergarten and first, and he is not a visual learner. And we tried a couple of different LAUSD schools. They both were highly tested, and he was coming home with big zeros on his pages every day and feeling like he was stupid. He would come home and say,
Elizabeth, I'm sorry to interrupt, but we have limited time. So you have your son in a charter now?
Decided to go 25 miles up to Santa Clarita to find a project-based learning program. And you say there's a lot of variety and choice in LAUSD, but they are all the same system. And a lot of kids do not thrive in the style of teaching that LAUSD does.
So you're saying this charter that you drive 25 miles round trip from the West Valley to Santa Clarita has a different system that connects with your son?
Yes, it's project-based, it's kinetic, and it's just an amazing program for kids that aren't successful at LAUSD.
Elizabeth, I appreciate it very much. So, Kyle, an example there of a parent saying, I can't get that, despite LA Unified's schools and the different programs they offer.
Yeah, and that's the difficulty here. I mean, we're talking about parents who are choosing charters. Clearly about almost 20% of the LA Unified School District's student enrollment is now in an independent charter, and they've done that because they feel like the district system, you know, a lot of them have done it because they feel like the district system may not be a fit for them. There are others who are probably doing it for less, you know, kind of maybe perhaps for reasons of convenience, we don't know. But we're talking about choice here. We have a school system that values in LAUSD, that values choice in a lot of different ways. And I think the question is, how much choice is enough choice? And I think that these bills are aimed at setting in limits to try and change the current balance in that equation.
Tria in Koreatown says, I have two kids. One is in a district school, one's in a charter. My district daughter is in special education, which is completely left out of the charter. I wish charters had more options for special ed. On top of that, when you take kids out of district schools and put them into charters, it takes money away from public schools. They need the extra support for special education classes. Let's talk with Lenny in the Miracle Mile District. You're on Air Talk.
Yes, thanks for taking the call. In 2009, Stanford did a study in its Center for Research and Education Outcomes. And what they discovered is that charters, 17% of them do better, 46% do exactly the same, and 37% do worse. So the whole notion, charters are nonprofits in name only. They are for-profit corporations that are, they're run and owned by for-profit corporations that charge 2 and 3 times market value for all their goods and services. It's a scam.
Okay, I'm a little confused. They charge, who are they charging 2 to 3 times?
They charge the nonprofit charter that needs to have a building, needs to buy books. LAUSD has the same issue with what are called agreed upon vendors. Under the notion of economics of scale, something larger should get a better price when you buy more. They don't get a better price, Larry. You can go into Fry's Electronics and buy a laptop computer for $500 less than what the district spends. And the same scam is going on in charter schools.
Okay. And you say they're nonprofit in name only. So you're saying that they're paying more, but their margin is higher than a district school? That seems to contradict.
More because all their contracts are negotiated for by a for-profit corporation. Education in the United States is $1.3 trillion a year business. And if corporations can privatize it by putting up a false nonprofit like a charter and then getting all of the goods and services it produces going to corporations that are owned, for-profit corporations.
Okay, boy, Lenny, you're talking about a very sophisticated, multi-level sort of a scam,
well,
Kyle.
Well, let's pick a couple things apart there. There are important points. One is the idea that there are some that do better, 46% that are the same, 37% do worse. It is absolutely true that charter performance is no better than district school performance. The other thing is that there are, you know, when he
but
says
those
the
are
same,
averages, that's important.
On average, there are people who would argue that LAUSD, that charters in LAUSD do better than LAUSD. Well, if you start breaking out the magnet school results in LAUSD, the magnets tend to perform better than the charter schools do. So there's a lot to break down there in terms of the performance. I think the point to what these bills are talking about is not just the same in terms of performance. Jackie Goldberg, the new LAUSD school board member, course, has, you know, I've been in, you know, has had experience in 3 or 4 dozen charter schools over the last couple of years, has had some up close in person knowledge with that, with running teacher training programs or being involved with those, and saying there are, you know, half of these schools in the district that look exactly the same as other district options. What AB 1505 would do, if it is ultimately approved, would make it so the district could say, we're not going to allow these charters that are coming in and doing the exact same thing from continuing to proliferate. One other point about the for-profit issue, and definitely this is one of the big concerns about charter schools, and it has been in the past. California recently passed legislation that banned for-profit corporations from being involved in the operation of charter schools. They were not explicitly forbidden before. They were a minority of the number of charter operators, but they did some of, I mean, there were a lot of concerns. The attorney general got involved with one of the operators, K-12 Inc., that was running a virtual charter school. In any case, the legislature banned for-profit corporations from running charters.
Setting up nonprofits to run charters.
Well,
what Lenny
setting
is
up
describing.
Some sort of a pass-through
organization. Exactly. Yeah, what Lenny's
describing
now is a nonprofit.
The law specifically forbids pass-through of money to for-profit corporations. There's still concern that corporations are going to be able to reorganize themselves so that they can become nonprofits and still be able to profit, as, you know, critics, you know, talk about. But California has taken steps to limit this small minority of for-profit operators from continuing to operate.
Let me share another comment. Lauren in La Cunada: our school district is fabulous, but made it clear unions are primarily interested in their own jobs. For teachers to oppose school choice is understandably motivated by job protection, but I don't think charters should be limited. That's Lauren in La Cunada. We're at 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Gregory in Redondo Beach, what do you think of these 4 Sacramento bills that would curtail the growth of charters?
Thanks, Larry, for taking my call. I think they're really bad ideas. You know, we have a lack of great schools in Los Angeles. We need more great charter schools. We need more great magnet schools. And to put a cap on where parents can actually send their children, and I disagree with, you know, a number of things that have been said. We know that on average, charter schools actually perform better than district schools, particularly, Kyle, when you look at the A through G requirements. Who's preparing children to be able to go to college, particularly low-income children and children of color? It's charter schools. It's not district schools. But overall, just capping the number of schools that are available, particularly high-quality schools for parents, today just doesn't make any sense. We need more great schools, not fewer. And these bills will lead to the closure of great schools and neighborhoods and force parents to send their kids back to schools that are not performing.
And we should just mention, no schools would be closed by these bills, right, Kyle? This has to do with creation of new schools.
That's my understanding, is that they would prevent there are some cases in which it would prevent schools from getting the permission they need to continue.
Oh,
to
so
open.
It could actually close currently open schools that the district said,
Yeah, I mean, that's the fear. I mean, because the reauthorizing changes that would be made under AB 1505, if it ultimately is passed and signed into law, would make it so that every time a charter comes forward to renewal, you know, the president of the California Charter Schools Association has said to me, it's not hard to envision a situation where 20% of the charter school portfolio in California is seeing closure every year. And perhaps that's a bit of an overstatement, but there's certainly a large level of existential risk to even existing charters that would have to go through a much tougher process of renewal going forward.
All right. Allie in Windsor Square in L.A. says, I'm on the board of a charter. The thing that is that's not included in this conversation is that UTLA has a stranglehold on the district. It's halting reform. We can't take away choices like charters until we can reform the district. That's Allie in Windsor Square. You can share your comments on the AirTalk page, kpcc.org. Kyle, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Kyle Stokes with us to talk about these 4 bills in Sacramento, which I was mischaracterizing by saying they would just curtail charters, might actually end up, curtail the growth, might actually end up with charters closing at the time of reauthorization. Coming up, we'll talk about the notion of authentic ethnic cuisine. What's really meant by that? And is that even an important notion? We'll be back right after a live update from Hetty Lynn Hurdies.